Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Poor, poor Timothy. It's his first call out of seminary, and Paul is sending him to a congregation that is experiencing some problems. Now, last week, we read about a couple that Paul had handed over to Satan. And this week, it seems that there are even more problems for Timothy to sort out. Now, the entire letter is like a manual for this church. And Paul wrote it to help Timothy navigate some of these problems and keep the church moving in the right direction. Now, last week, we focused on the power of prayer. This week, we look at the power of the Christian community. Last week, we talked about bold, powerful prayers to the Father concerning those who are lost and have turned their backs on the Savior. And today we turn our attention to those who are not necessarily lost, but have seemingly become distracted by earthly wealth. Now, Paul begins this portion of the letter by describing those who are at risk of falling away from Jesus because of their love, pursuit of money. And he warns them in this way: "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." But then he turns his attention to those who are already wealthy. And these are Christians, and he has a message for them, starting in verse 17. "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasures for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life." Now, at first read, this sounds like Timothy is to teach each member of his flock how to use the gifts of wealth to glorify God. And that's very true. Definitely part of the message. But I think Paul's warning extends beyond just the individual and his or her actions. Recall that this entire letter was written to help Timothy serve the congregation as a whole. And the approach that Paul was advocating for was to instill in them a sense of unity, a sense that they were one body in Jesus, and that this body was being led by the head, Christ himself. And so, if Timothy was to instill this mindset, this culture within this congregation, he needed to understand what this culture was and how it was supposed to function. And so, when we view this passage through that lens, we understand how it becomes a charge to the congregation as a whole just as much as it is a charge to the individual. Now, Paul often speaks of the church as a body. And in this analogy, the church body, just like a physical body, is to follow and serve the head. And what the head wants, the body, is to work towards achieving. And so, to understand the function of the church, one must first understand the desire of the head. And this, of course, brings us full circle back to last week. And in that passage, Paul talks about what exactly the head, Jesus, desires. He desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so that is what we are to do with every gift that God has granted to us, even our wealth. We're to do it as one body. And so in this passage, Paul instructs Timothy to charge the congregation to do good works, to be generous, to share. He is telling them to be godly, to live a life modeled after Jesus. Each individual contributing their individual resources and talents, but doing it as part of a whole so as to fulfill the desire of the head. Now here's what I mean. Think back to Acts, the second chapter, and how it describes this early church. They're to give to those in need. They sold their possessions. They cared for the poor. And they did all of these things without worry or care of the health of this church body. For they knew that by faith, that if they, the body of Christ, acted like the body of Christ, then Jesus, the head, would ensure the health of the body and supply all their needs. Now, this is a counter-cultural way of thinking. And it wasn't born from the idea of Paul or even the idea of man. It came from God Himself. Reflect on the plan of salvation that God enacted after the fall. And reflect on the earthly ministry of Jesus and how he turned the understanding of Scripture and even the understanding of the world upside down. Consider just for a moment how countercultural it was for the Father to sacrifice his own Son to save a creation that despised him. Now, this is the well from which Paul draws his advice. He tells Timothy to instill in the congregation a counter-cultural way of living. Now, last week, the focus was to pray for those who have turned their backs on God, who shun and even attack the Christian church. And this week, the focus is to use our wealth in a way that might lead all people to be saved. This is countercultural. It might even be called Jesus cultural. But whatever it's called, the charge is still the same. Look upon the cross and see how God spent his precious treasure. He spent all so that he might save all. How can we not want to join with him and share this message with the world? How can we not want to be a part of something so counter-worldly that our very efforts point people to Jesus? So Paul, of course, is speaking to all of us this morning. And he's charging us not to be haughty, nor to set our hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. We are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. And we're to do it because Jesus first did it for us. And our reward is even greater than we can imagine. For it is not storehouses of gold, but eternal life, where we live rich in the presence of God in His kingdom. This is the life we long for. And it's a life that we will one day experience. But today, we live in the promise of that reality. But it's a promise that we place all of our hope in, for we know that that reality is most certainly true. So let us live today as a church body, one that is counter-cultural. Let us live as a body that the world calls Jesus cultural. Let us respond to the work of Jesus by being a body that devotes all its earthly resources to the desires of the head. And together, let us give our money, our time, and our talents. Let us hold nothing back. Now, the world may look upon us as crazy, but if we do it right, the world will look upon us. And then, with their attention, we can tell them about our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I leave you with this. Are you in? Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, we pray that this body will be invigorated and strengthened to boldly live a life that is countercultural, but a powerful witness to you. We pray that we be motivated to use the talents and resources that you have provided us to realize your desires instead of our own. In your name we pray. Amen.